Well, good morning. I'm Robert Archibald. I am retired. I retired in 2014. I was sailing professionally in the engine department for a long time, since 1968. I worked for Crowley Maritime for a long time. I put my time in the Coast Guard. When I retired, I joined the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council, and that was probably in 2015. I'm currently the president of the board of directors representing the city of Homer. And I've been involved in one big drill and several smaller ones that actually didn't stand up as the command team.
What are some things that you would want people to know going into an RSC?
You know, there's a long list of things that if you are going to be participating for your community or your stakeholders in one of these, you have to know what the issues are. You have to have an understanding of what is of value and what actually this incident could affect in your community, and have a understanding of how to mitigate it. Knowing your resources, knowing what your town can present, whether that be housing, restaurants, cleanup gear, boats, if it's an oil spill, anything that you have that you could present as a resource to an incident command team to deal with the crisis at hand, if you will. Depending on the size of an incident, you have to realize that people are coming to your community. You have people in your community that are going to be affected, so you have to be able to express what is happening in your community to an incident command team. There's all kinds of avenues for this discussion. So you will be in the hot seat if you are representing your community. Most cities have an emergency plan to deal with any kind of an event. So they probably have an emergency team. So it's important for them to know that you are capable of dealing with an ICS. Or in fact, maybe somebody on this emergency team will be appointed as their representative. So in that case, they would have a better understanding of the whole system that the city has. If it's not somebody from that particular emergency team from a city organization, they're probably going to be busy just dealing with the government of the city. So in that case, if you're an appointee, you have to understand what the city's resources are. You have to be able to deal and communicate with your, we call it a member entity, whether it's the city, whether it's any kind of organization that has a stakeholder interest in this event.
Can you tell me about your experience participating in the RSC simulation process at the annual tanker plan exercise?
We walked into this building and there were hundreds of people involved, and it's rather intimidating. And then we found out where the Regional Stakeholders Committee was gathering. So we got organized. And the first thing when you gather as a committee, you have to have an organized group. You have to have somebody to lead the meeting, and you have to have somebody that is very good at taking notes, because you're going to have very little time to speak with the incident command team. But that is part of the process, and they will give you time. You'll be discussing the important factors from each community. But it is so important to take notes on this so you can highlight the commonalities that you have, and you can prioritize things, because depending on the amount of time you have, it's so important to be able to hit the incident command team with the important issues. If you have a large area, you might have several towns involved and communities with numerous people in this Regional Stakeholders Committee. So having it all organized is very important.
Do you have any advice specifically for the RSC chair?
The person that's appointed to be the chair usually is appointed by all the people there. So it's somebody that's used to chairing a committee or a group and is comfortable doing that. They have to be able to maintain the cohesion of the group and not alienate people, but yet give everybody their fair share. And they need to know the subject matter. And that's just being associated with this type of committee, I suspect. We don't get really technical, so we try to keep it at a level that people understand or explain it. So you don't have to be a professional in a response in order to express your community's concerns and needs and resources that they have available. So a regional stakeholders committee, you're representing a vast group of your constituents. And it's just known that a natural disaster, emotions pull together. In a man-made disaster, usually emotions get very high because it's created by some entity. So you're dealing with emotional people. You're dealing with people that are extremely upset and pointing fingers. So if you're in the stakeholders committee, you have to keep that in mind. You have to stay really level-headed and try to keep your emotions centered, because you'll be getting pushed from all sides. And to be able to make a rational statement that an incident command team can take value from, you have to really maintain your even thinking. So and in order to be of value, you have to be able to take comments from emotional people and kind of vet out what's emotion and what's practical information that you really need to express. It's a difficult thing. And if you've never been in that situation, you may be intimidated. You may get upset. And it's probably human nature, but it's something that, depending on the size of the event, it will get rather contentious.
What is the best way for the Regional Stakeholder Committee to prepare for their meeting with Incident Command and utilize the short window of time that they have?
So it's very important to have your comments prioritized according to the value and, if you will, the threats that are presented to your community from this incident in a prioritized list, and be able to state the reasons you have them in such a list. Usually, the incident command team will come in and you can hit them with these, but we also have a liaison to incident command team. So I think this is important also, is that during the day, as things develop, you have a way to communicate with the incident command team, but it's through a liaison. So you have a person that will sit in your committee meetings, and if something comes up, they'll go to an incident command team and say, look, we have a big issue here that we need to resolve. So it's not just that they come in and give you 5 minutes. If you don't have an issue that needs to be resolved immediately, the incident command team schedules a meeting with you at a certain time of day, and you only have 5 to 10 minutes to go over the issues from your community or your stakeholders. So it's very important to be able to express these in a methodical way and explain the importance of the issues. You really cannot take a whole lot of time from an incident commander when they're busy with everything else that's going on. And I can assure you there is a lot. You as a representative, you are representing an entity, whether it be a city government, a group of stakeholders. So you have more or less a chain of communication, and you have to realize that you will have to kind of stick to that chain. So you don't want to be calling your best friends and telling them what's going on. You need to go through that chain of communication. Ideally, it should be set up beforehand. So you know what you're trying to do, and the person you're communicating with understands what your role is in the whole event. And try and stick to those lines, because otherwise your communication will become invaluable if it gets vetted out to other people and then stories start happening. So if you maintain that chain of communication, you become very valuable, as opposed to becoming not of a value because your story gets diluted.